Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Well, this is not exactly Dr. Gene Youngblood. This is Greg Youngblood, and we are here live today in Jacksonville, Florida. This is not a repeat. This is live today. I've traveled 540 miles from the southern tip of heaven there in East Tennessee. I have retrieved the Black Robe Patriot, and I want to discuss with him for a moment or two what in the world is going on and why in the world he wasn't behind the microphone for the past week and a half. But
I was hiding in the basement near Joe Biden.
Well, did you give him any good advice, you know, as to, you know, maybe how he can wiggle out of this thing and not have to stand on the stage next to Donald Trump and answer debate questions?
No, Kamala Harris says she wants him in so she can be president.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's a scenario that could play out. It's probably probably one of the most scary scenarios on the planet. I thought perhaps you were in the dungeon in the with Mark Levin having discussions, or perhaps you were with Donald Trump having some private discussions and giving good advice. But the fact that you were with Joe Biden makes me kind of concerned about you.
Well, I'd rather have been with Mark Levin or with President Trump, but unfortunately, it was a totally different scenario. They had me locked up at a hospital.
Locked up at a hospital. Hold on a second. There are stories that abound already that you've been involved in a knife fight.
Yeah.
That's what I heard anyway.
Yeah. It was a knife fight, but it was a physician that had the knife.
A surgeon. When a surgeon has a knife, it's perfectly knife, legal. Yeah. It's okay. And actually,
that's what happens when you have an emergency appendectomy surgery where they remove that little appendices that the doctors say has no real value to you.
I think God put that appendix there for a reason. I said it's a reset mechanism for all those bacteria in your system. So now you don't have a reset. So hopefully it'll be fine for the next 100 years and you won't need a bacterial reset.
Well, I am thankful for physicians and for medical science and for their being able to remove something like that. But I never would have dreamed that it would, for 2 weeks almost, take the starch out of you that you can't even get a deep breath to properly talk.
Well, they batter your body in the midst of that. They may put you to sleep for a little while, but they batter your body in the midst of that. By the way, I take a moment. Feel free to dial in 904-831-0917. We are here live today in Jacksonville, Florida. I have a question for you. Because we got the Wuhan flu thing going around, and by the way, the politically correct still want to say COVID-19. I'm just going to keep being politically incorrect and say Wuhan flu. In the midst of the stuff that you dealt with last week in the hospital, did the Wuhan flu affect your visit?
Well, I'm a little still in a state of consternation because most people listening perhaps do not understand what we're involved in today on a national level and how the medical people are treating it. Went in on the basis that I had major pain. I had already basically online analyzed enough to realize that I had a problem with my appendix. But
you self-diagnosed.
Yes.
Dr. Youngblood is self-diagnosing, folks.
And then the physicians confirmed my research when they said that I have an appendix that's ready to rupture and needs to come out. And I said, "You're saying it's emergency surgery?" And he said, "Yes, sir." And he said that they need to go through the protocol giving a COVID-19 test before they would authorize the physician.
Protocol, suggested protocol or mandatory protocol?
They're suggested, but mandatory for me.
Mandatory
from their position.
I understand. So in the midst of that, what you're telling me is you've got potentially a life-threatening issue that could be either postponed or not dealt with at all if you said no?
Yes. In fact, that was the definitive answer. I said, I've not done a COVID-19 test. Don't intend to do one. And
well, why wouldn't you do a test? I mean, they're only like half the time they're wrong. So you know, the other half the time they're right. So you could get a good test.
Half the time they're wrong, and the other half the time they're right. And then the half of that half time is double and triple testing
that's
irrelevant. But nevertheless, I said no. And he said, well, we cannot do the surgery unless you say yes.
We're gonna let you die a comfortable.
Well, it's basically
they're gonna give you pain medicine and let you die a comfortable
death. Do you realize you're violating my 4th and 14th Amendment rights by demanding that I do that? And yet at the same time, you tell me that without the emergency surgery, I could die.
Well,
and you're willing to say we'll let you die if you don't take the test.
Fast forward and kind of project, if we project what's going on now today with that, here you're dealing with a potential life-threatening event, and they're saying, we can't give you help unless you jump through these hoops. Now, they're also, in some jurisdictions, predominantly controlled by leftist socialist Democrats, in some jurisdictions, they're saying you can't go into these stores unless you do X, Y, and Z. And then they use the store as the police officer. Mm-hmm. They have to make sure if you go in that store, you're wearing that mask. Well, tell me, if we fast forward now, a huge portion of society has already accepted this. If you don't wear the mask, you can't do X, Y, and Z. What happens when they come out with the inoculation, the vaccination, and they say, you know what, this has already proved to be 93% effective or 52%. You know, they'll not be able to determine effectiveness, but the government will say, you know, folks, you got to have this, and they're going to apply it to the school kids first. They're always the lab rats. We're going to apply this to the school kids. Your child cannot enroll in school unless they have this vaccination.
That's where we're headed. We're on the fast track for that. If they can force us to take a test, if they can force us to wear a mask, it is only natural that when the vaccination is ushered in, and they're saying in an article that you have there in your hand, Greg, they're saying they have the vaccine. Bill Gates will have the vaccine in latter part of 2020 this year, and they're going to be vaccinating using that for other nations first and then coming back to America. But by the end of this year, Americans should all be vaccinated.
Well, they're making some real leaps, some real projections, the idea that we can say when a vaccine is going to be produced. I mean, for the testing of efficacy and the potential risk associated with any new drug, any new vaccine, you have to go through months and months of testing. So, you know, a lot of this is pie in the sky, hoping for a vaccination. I believe the common cold is a type of coronavirus, and that's been around forever. Okay, do we have a vaccination for that? No. Okay, we have vaccinations for the flu year after year after year. And still, you get that flu vaccination, and a month later, you get the flu, and the doctor said, well, it just didn't cover that kind of flu. We're sorry. So tell me, I mean, this is an absurdity that we're looking at, and most certainly when that absurdity comes down the pike, it will be wrapped up in the grandeur of government approvals. It's almost like the full faith and credit of the United States. You know, we're $24 trillion in debt, but supposedly the full faith and credit is going to cover you. But this same scenario, the same kind of promise is probably going to come down the pike with the vaccination. Everything's good, but we're going to force you. Now, we're forcing you, you got to make sure you do your social distancing. Now, we're going to force you to wear a mask, by the way, folks out there. You shouldn't have to have a carry concealed permit because our Second Amendment covers it. But for those of you like me that have gone out, jumped through the hoops, and paid the money to buy your right back and got your carry permit, you carry that firearm with you for protection for you and your family. All right. However, the law says if you wear a mask, you're now a felon. So now they're going to force you to wear a mask. Otherwise, you can't go into certain stores in certain jurisdictions. And those stores may be providing you with necessities like food and water. Okay. By the way, let's say you make it like, 2 hours without protection from the cold and 2 days without water and 2 weeks without food. Well, what happens after that two hours, 2 days, or 2 weeks have expired? Well, you're going to expire. But you carry that gun. Now they're going to make you a felon, or you have to put the gun down so you can't protect you and your family. And in the day and age of roving bands of Antifa and BLM types, do you want to be without the ability to defend yourself and your family?
Well,
this is, and you were put in the exact same position in that your life may be deprived by virtue of some edict from the state or edict from a medical institution.
Well, you touched on it. Just as with the mask that's required now, it is being enforced by the merchants. It is a needed from the government, being enforced by the merchants, or you can't buy from them. It's being enforced now with the test being enforced by medical care. This is the reason I've said, Greg, and to our listeners today, I've said many times now in the past 6 months that when it comes down to the vaccination, it will be something that will be, you will either have the vaccination or you cannot get medical care from your physician, from the hospital, whether it's an emergency, life or death situation or not.
All this kind of plays in. We could not have predicted 10 weeks ago, 12 weeks ago, 16 weeks ago, the chaos that we would be dealing with over the past couple of months. But biblically, could we foresee it? Biblically, do you have any text you can point to and say, based on this, we're going to have a fascist, dictatorial, totalitarian level of control put upon not the United States, but the whole world?
Whole world. In fact, Greg, that comes in Revelation 13. In fact, if you look at Revelation 13, you find that the Antichrist, the man of sin, once referred to as the lawless one, will be the one that will make the dictatorial edicts that will be carried out in the whole world. But in that day, and by the way, for our listeners, if you've said yes to Jesus Christ, you won't be here. I won't be here. But those that have not said yes to Jesus as Savior will be in the world where the Antichrist has full control and without the mark, i.e., the vaccination.
You don't know what's next. I mean,
when you look at all that the Bill Gates Foundation has developed, it is an ID vaccination. Bill Gates developed the ID 2020, which is now in the upper right-hand corner of every driver's license. And without that driver's license,
they're doing that
with the ID 2020. You can't go.
They've already told us. I think that's been in Florida for a while. I don't know that, but they've told us. I believe it's this year or the first of next. That's the case. We have to get new driver's licenses. They have to have that biometric data. If they don't have that, biometric data, then sorry, you can't go anywhere. You can't get on an airplane. I don't know if you can get on a bus or not, but it's kind of crazy. Tell me, when I was a kid, I watched the TV or the movies that came out, Left Behind, and I think they had a follow-up to that. And in the midst of like a tribulation scenario, they did a pretty good job on a lot of that, in retrospect. But in the midst of a tribulation scenario, as you're talking about the Revelation, they played it out like a lot of people were being dragged, kicking and screaming to submit. Is that the way you see kind of the future playing out?
In fact, that will take place where people are gleefully, willingly ready to accept the mark, because that allows them to buy, sell, trade. And as I've said recently, it'll even allow people to open your own business.
Are you saying it may be something like the Weimar Republic, something like Germany in Adolf Hitler's day, where literally because of the chaos, the debt that was incurred during World War II, a lot of it that was being called due. They were running the printing presses. The Deutschmark was dropping in value precipitously. People were being paid on quarter day and half day because at the end of the day, the money would be worth less than half of what it was at the beginning of the day. Absurdity like that. In that sort of chaotic scenario, I mean, kind of like Venezuela today. I think last year they had 22,000% inflation. So your dollar better be spent today. Otherwise, it may be worth nothing tomorrow. They said that a wheelbarrow of cash was used to buy a loaf of bread. And a person left his wheelbarrow of cash outside the door while he went in to get the loaf of bread. It came back out, and the cash was on the ground, and the wheelbarrow was gone because it was worth more than the cash. Mm-hmm. So the insanity of it all, are you saying it's going to look a little bit like the parliament of the day, selecting Adolf Hitler to give power, signing the enabling legislation, giving him the authority? It wasn't like he seized power.
They gladly gave it to him. And in that day of the identification, people will take that identification, because even today, people like to identify with the well-known person, with the movie star, the rock star, the political star, and they will be delighted for that identification that allows them to buy, sell, and to trade. Otherwise, they would just simply wander as vagabonds on the street until death.
By the way, I just want to make sure that we're on the same page. When it comes to these masks and all, I have friends and family that have worn, do wear a mask, or would recommend wearing masks because they are dealing with other issues in their life where they have a suppressed immune system or whatever, and they're going to wear this mask as a protective thing. Now, I could argue that you know, the most of the masks that they sell are no good for that purpose, but I understand that. And for people that are sick, the idea of not coughing or sneezing and sending those germs all the way across, I understand that. But what camp do you fall in as far as, you know, okay, don't wear or don't be compelled? Because I'm falling into the don't be compelled.
Yes.
Make the suggestion, you know, government, give us all the facts, by the way. Hate to say this. Don't trust a single thing coming out of our government right now.
What was it Ronald Reagan said?
Trust but verify, right?
But Ronald Reagan said something about the scariest words is the government said you don't. Said I'm here to help you.
I'm with the government, and I'm here to help.
Yeah.
By the way, this is completely far aside. Did you see the video of the Cuban American Spanish? He came from Spain, then to Cuba, and his family fled in the midst of the communist revolution there on that little island nation of Cuba, and they came here to America. And this gentleman was part of a group of 10, 12, 14 folks speaking with Donald Trump in the White House, and he went on for an monologue talking about his life and his history. Did anybody out there pick up on any of this? I mean, it was a really beautiful thing. If you go to my Facebook page, you just flip two or three down, you're going to find that video, and it's very encouraging because this man firsthand account as a child. By the way, I think he came to America at like 11 years old. But he says, "Don't let this get away from." His dad told him, "You know, don't let this get away from. Don't let America get away from you because there's nowhere else to go." You mentioned Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan said, "America is the last best hope of man on earth." You have a lot of people today that are of the opinion that, "Oh, if it all falls apart, that's fine. We'll just rebuild, or we'll just vote somebody else different in, or we'll just move." I tell you, folks, there's nowhere to move where you're going to have the freedom and the opportunity and the blessings of liberty like you have in America. Don't let that liberty get away. Don't let America get away. It's been hard fought. Your liberty was bought with blood. You know, as our founding fathers pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor, many of them lost it all. Many of them lost it all. Well, not their sacred honor, but lost it all. Lost homes, lost fortunes, and lost lives in order to buy the liberty that we enjoy today.
And yet we're not seeing that, Greg. One of the things that I'd like for us to think on for the benefit of our listeners, that telephone number is 831-0917, that you can still call in, have your dialogue and discussion with us. But Thomas Sowell, being interviewed by Levine on Fox News.
Mark Levin
said, if Joe Biden wins, it could signal the point of no return for this country. The point of no return. I believe, Greg, we reach in society what I call and have called sometimes the tipping point. The tipping point. And by the way, I'm looking at this article and I do want to read a basic thought from it, because we're talking about the vaccine. This article, this writer says, here it comes. Bill Gates and his GAVI, Gavi, it is a organization linked with MasterCard, Vaccine Alliance, launching an all-powered trust stamp, combining a vaccination with the digital biometric ID in West Africa.
I've been saying biometrics for years. You and I have talked about what's the mark going to look like. What's the mark going to look like? And you know, when the barcode things came out, I'm talking everybody, Christians all over the world. This is the mark. And some folks, we've been talking about the chip thing with technology. Mm-hmm. I mean, the age of the computer chip. You know, we can put that chip underneath the skin. Well, we can still duplicate the chip. I've been of a mind for a long time that the mark of the beast will be associated with biometric data that we have on our persons, our palm scans and our retinal scans. I believe when the disciple John saw in that vision and could see what was taking place in that latter day, in that day of the Lord, when he saw that and saw in the hand or in the forehead, think of how people look in a retinal scanner today and they put their face up into this device and press their forehead into this device in order to get the retinal scan. I know there are devices that do it other ways as well. And then the hand scan, whether it's the full palm or a fingerprint, you're placing your hand into a device. And John's saying that this is what I mean, literally, you can envision these things, and that's where the mark is. That's mm-hmm. that's where you're identified.
Well, you know, Bill Gates with his vaccine already has in it. It's like a giant Band-Aid. It is placed on the arm, and it has about 400 grains of sugar, and each of those are
the size of
about the size of a grain of sugar, and it's impregnated with the vaccine material that etches under the skin and forms a biodata chip.
Could be. I mean, I've read some things along that line. That's plausible. That's plausible. That's doable. I suppose in the age of the cloud, where everybody's backing their data up to the cloud or operating directly out, you have a bunch of computers now. You buy them, and they have nothing on board. And so when I say nothing on board, they don't have any hard drive on board. It's literally grabbing data that you have stored off-site. You know, I'm sick and tired of folks. You know, I think some folks actually hear the cloud, and they think there's some cloud up there. And you go, no. Somebody else has your data, people. Somebody else has your data. It's a Bill Gates type. It's an Amazon type. It's a, you know, somebody else has your data. But that's going on all the time. But the on the biometric side, if you scan your palm and they know this joker right here is Greg Youngblood, mm-hmm. and they have all this data on you, you don't have to have the thing underneath your skin. You don't have to have the tattoo. You don't have to have the cloud tells them, yep, that's Greg Youngblood. I have a friend that travels internationally. He has manufacturing on 4 continents. And on one of those continents, a man by his same name and his same birth date is a criminal. And he has been arrested over 100 times. How would you like to be that guy? You show up, and he shows up as he's getting off the airplane, and he's going through his checkpoint. He's got his visa, and the guy says, ask him what he's traveling for, and the consternation on his face showed up, and one of these security guys says, what's wrong? He says, well, when I hand you this visa, you're going to scan it, and then you're going to arrest me, and you're going to take me down that hall right there. And the guy said, why would you think this? He goes, because it's happened nearly 100 times. So sure enough, the fellow and the red flags come up. He says, you're right. He goes, yeah, we're going to go down that hall right there, and the third door on the right is where you're going to take me and put me in holding. And he goes, if you know all this, why don't you do something about it? He goes, I can't do it. The guy has my same name. He has my same birth date. What am I supposed to do? Well, in the age of technology, with the palm scans, the retinal scans, you'll have people, like you were saying, I believe they will line up. It's like, I don't want to be that guy. Could you imagine being named John Smith and having the same birth date as 32 other John Smiths, and you happen to be an honest guy, but there are 20 of those John Smiths out there that they're looking for. And that sort of chaos. Well, people would gladly say, get me out of the chaos. Let me buy and sell. Let me use my credit card. I'm not a bad guy. Let's line up for it. Today, we have Christians say, hey, let's just submit. Romans 13 says submit, right? Let's just submit. So where do we go? What do we do next?
You understand what Romans 13 says, then you know how to respond. But Greg Further on this article says, a biometric digital identity platform that evolves as you evolve is set to be introduced in the low-income, remote communities in West Africa, thanks to the public-private partnership between Bill Gates, backed by Gavi Vaccine Alliance, MasterCard, and the all-powered identification authentication company called Trust Stamp. So, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm saying is Bill Gates is all set and ready. Bill Gates will be the one. One of his companies will get the contract with the federal government. He's gotten the contracts around the world for the vaccine. He will have the contract. And in that vaccine, every person on the face of the globe will be vaccinated. And by the way, Greg, he said to Bill Gates in an interview with CNN News about 6 weeks ago, Bill Gates says, let's face it, when we introduce the vaccine, somewhere between 750,000 and 1 million people may die, but it's worth that in order to perfect the vaccine. So he already knows in advance that it's going to kill hundreds of thousands, millions of people. That's already been proven with his previous vaccines in Africa and in India, where now there's a case against the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation because of sterilization of the females, the death of so many, and yet he's willing to continue to do that. It's a pretty lengthy article here, but it's very informative as to what's taking place.
The notion that just passing that off like it's minimal, de minimis impact, like it's a minimal thing that potentially hundreds of thousands or millions die. You have many folks, and if you doubt me, I want you to look this up. You have many folks, especially among the uber wealthy, that think that this planet is overcrowded, that we're just absolutely going to decimate the planet because we have over 6 billion on the planet and we just can't keep up. Now, I'd like for you to look back, and about 40 years ago, you'll find that the Georgia Guidestones were erected. Look that up, folks. Type that in your computer, look it up, and then read it. Now, the Georgia Guidestones are in multiple languages, 4 massive stones, and a fifth, I guess, that kind of joins them together, as I recall. But on that, on these Georgia Guidestones, it has laid out a plan for us to fix the planet. Now, keep in mind, this is 40 years ago put in the ground, and to this date, we don't know the individual that paid to have them manufactured and erected there in Georgia. But the Georgia Guidestones say that we ought to reduce the planet of the population of the planet to 500 million. That would necessitate 5.5 billion people die. So you have that notion already accepted among a certain class, a certain group of, a certain type of people. I'm not throwing everybody under the bus that happens to be a billionaire. But there are some folks that look at most of the planet as a nuisance. I don't know where you get such disrespect for life. You know, here we are as Christians. Me as a Christian, conservative, constitutionalist in that order. Life is special. Not just black lives, not just white lives, not just right on down the list of it, but life is special. Life is precious. We are created in the image of God. Once you leave that root, once you leave that foundation, insanity ensues. And I think we've trained at least 2 generations of kids in the classroom, from K-5 all the way through PhD, we've trained at least 2 generations that life is not very important. Matter of fact, if you buy the evolutionary model from that racist Darwin, by the way, when are they going to start tearing down the Darwin statues?
Mm-hmm.
Because he's a racist. Matter of fact, he was of the assumption that black folks evolved from lower critters and they weren't as smart as white folks. I'm not making this up. Look up the history of Charles Darwin. You know, that's what drove some of his ideology, and that drove a lot of racist ideology in his day. But when are they going to start tearing down his statues? But he has been lauded in the classroom. We have 2 generations or more of students that have bought the lie. Now, they keep changing up what they call evolution. But once you bought the lie of evolution, then God's no longer in the equation. As a matter of fact, once you bought that lie, you as a human being become God, because you are the highest form of evolution. You're top of the food chain. There's nobody to answer to. It's just you.
That's what's so dangerous for Bill Gates. As a eugenist, he would like to see several hundred million removed from the planet to save planet Earth. What's the planet for if you don't have human beings?
Are they going to tear down the monuments to Margaret Sanger? She was another eugenist. I mean, she started the Negro Project. It is absolutely devastating to realize that part of her goal, part of her objective, and even the placing of abortion clinics in majority-minority districts, the target was to exterminate black folks.
Yes.
However, today, you have a Margaret Sanger Award. You have Hillary Clinton that 4 years ago during the election campaign, she lauded Margaret Sanger. One of her heroes, one of her icons. Of course, she also lauded Robert Byrd, a grand wizard or something with the Ku Klux Klan. His name's on 60 or 80. Have they started tearing his name off buildings yet?
No, anybody they won't.
They haven't done that? 60 or 80 structures, buildings, bridges all over the place with Robert Byrd. But I guess if you're a hero of the left, I guess if you're a Democrat, if you're considered a statesman with decades of service to your country, it's all okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about 1 minute at the top of the hour for the news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.